people. Some had come to sell, but most had come to buy or trade.
Any local, Jack? Any baron around New York big enough to issue his own monies?
No fucking way. There's some big dealers around Matton, but no barons, no.
There's Harry.
Who?
Harry Stanton. Calls himself king of the... What is it, Dredd?
Underworld, yeah. Well, there's him, but he's not a baron. No, Jack isn't worth a candlelit fought in a fucking hurricane.
How come nobody comes thieving? Take over this place.
No. There's a sort of a rule. Anyone tried it, then they'd be marked and hunted down by everyone in the ville.
Nobody ever try it?
Oh, sure. If we'd come in another way, we'd have seen them. On pikes. It gets the message across real clear.
I'd imagine. Let's go look around. Stick together. Anyone drifts could get lost. And stay triple alert.
Everywhere they went, they encountered the same dull resentment. People would stop and stare at their feet as they passed, occasionally taking the time to bluntly speak their mind. Nobody looked directly at them.
I've never seen anything like this.
This was the rotting detritus of an entire civilization. So vast had been the metropolis of New York that the few survivors, a century later, were still eking out a living from the remains. Some stalls held pots and pans, plates and glasses. Many were filthy, dented, or chipped. Some showed the clearest signs of severe scorching during the Skyborne Holocaust. One stall had a number of books and comics, which attracted both Ryan and Christy. But nearly all were badly damaged, with pages missing and spines broken. Mildred joined them, picking up a copy of a magazine called Love and Rockets. She handled it with a reverential awe.
This was the best around, the Hernandez brothers. How much is this?
What kind of question's that, lady? You a few bricks short of a chimney?
I just wondered what you wanted for this old comic.
Jeez, you outies? Yeah, I see you are. We don't take outie, Jack, here. You tell me what you want to give me for it.
What can I give?
Clothes or some kind of weapons would do fine, lady.
No. Thanks, but no thanks.
Mildred put the tattered, dry-leaved magazine back down, and they moved on through the market. They pushed along crowded aisles. Dredd had told them the food was served on the south side of the old reservoir. They could see the smoke of cooking fires and ovens ahead of them. There were so many people there that they could only glimpse odd items on some of the trestles and boxes. People in Deathlands weren't that concerned with personal hygiene. You washed when you could, but if it was only every couple of weeks, then that was the way it was. But even Ryan was aware of the appalling stench that washed around them. Not just sweat, but sweat layered upon old sweat. And everyone seemed to have an aura of damp glowing around them, from wet clothes that never dried properly. One stall had a pile of tiles that Doc claimed must have dated from the middle of the 19th century, entwining floral patterns in faded crimsons and yellows. There was one young boy selling only lengths of string, rope, and wire, of all sorts of dimensions and strengths. A long table with three armed men behind it was covered with handfuls of ammo of all calibers. JB paused and browsed a while, coming up with a dozen antique rounds to fit Doc's 36. One of the men seemed delighted to take two of the armorer's own 5.6mm rounds in exchange. One of the busiest sections of the market was the one selling clothes and footwear. A foxy-faced teenager with dreadful smallpox scars disfiguring his cheeks grabbed at Christie's arm, nearly earning himself a slashed groin from Ryan's panga.
Woo! Love the boots, Red.
Christy was wearing the same boots she'd had on when she and Ryan had first met. Dark blue leather, now badly scuffed and stained, with chiseled silver points on both toes. There were also silver leather falcons with their wings spread across the fronts of the boots. The heels were worn down, and she'd had them repaired once. The soles were also becoming perilously thin.
So do I.
Give you any 5 pairs from the stall in trade. Good deal, Red.
No.
Come on, 8 pairs.
Christy smiled at him and started to move on. He clung to her arm.
10 pairs of any kind.
She tried to shrug him off, but he persisted. Still smiling, the tall woman reached down and closed her fingers over his hand.
Ow!
No, I mean it.
Christy let go of him and walked on, leaving him to nurse bruised fingers.
Ooh, could do with a decent coat. Freezing wind.
See anything you want? We can barter some bullets for it.
Mildred glanced at a stall they were passing. Even from where they stood, they could see the myriad fleas and mites skipping all over the rags.
I guess I'll stick with being cold for a while. What's the worst that could happen?
Finally, the companions reached the first line of food and drink stalls. Smoke billowed around them, stinging their eyes and snatching at the backs of their throats. But it was a smell they'd all encountered in many frontier villes.
Let me do the talking.
Sure. Get something we can eat now and something to take with us.
A hand suddenly snatched at his sleeve, and he spun around to find himself looking down into the ravaged face of a middle-aged woman. Her hair was graying and tied back in a long ponytail. At one time, she must have been very attractive, but someone had once taken a thin, sharp knife to her and marred her beauty. A network of long, narrow scars seamed her from forehead to chin, tugging down her eyes. Her nose had been deliberately split up both nostrils and had healed crookedly. The corners of her mouth had been extended with a knife, making it seem as if she were always smiling. There was a small metal locket around her neck, on a length of plaited steel wire. She let go of his arm, and now both hands were reaching for the locket. Ryan noticed that both of her thumbs had been hacked off, showing only cauterized stumps. Dredd had also turned, and he pushed the woman a few steps away from Ryan.
Fuck off, beggar! Go slut some other place!
Want to ask him a question?
Let her ask.
She's a beggar.
The one-eyed man. What's your name?
My name
Shut up, beggar! His name's Chiller. So now you know. And that's what'll happen to you if you don't wheel that cut-up face of yours out of the fucking way.
The crowd whirled around them, put on edge by the shouted anger in the youth's voice. When they stilled again, the woman was gone. Dredd, cocky, strutted on. Ryan was close to Christy.
He didn't have to do that.
He's young and he wants to show off. Jack was a bit like that some of the time.
Yeah, some of the time.
Emma was at such a premium in the Ville of New York that they were able to eat and drink well and take some dried meat and bread with them. All for only 5 perfect 9mm full metal jacket rounds. They ate a rich stew from homemade bowls. The meat was almost certainly dog, though the seller had claimed that there was also some rabbit and even some tinned beef in there someplace. Chunks of some unidentified root vegetable floated in the dark brown gravy, as well as a handful of pallid beans. It was spiced with too little salt and too much pepper, as well as the ragged remains of some red chilies. With it, there were some fresh sourdough biscuits, still warm from a portable clay oven that stood at the side of the cauldron of stew. The man had offered them watery milk or some homebrew. All of them chose the latter.
I have dined at some of the finest restaurants Europe or the United States can offer, and I doubt I have ever dined better than that. Hits the spot and layers the stomach most perfectly. I declare that this establishment is worthy of 3 stars from Monsieur Michelin.
Yeah, and it's not bad, neither.
Their stomachs pleasantly filled, the 5 old friends and their 2 young companions moved southward across Manhattan.
This would have been 5th Avenue, would it not, my dear Dr. Wyeth?
Guess so, Doc.
Look upon my works, ye mighty. This part has been devilishly hard hit. I can recall... But what's the point of all that? What is the point of all that? Yesterday is gone. One day we will all die. In life, my friends, there is but that one great certainty. Dust, brothers and sisters. Dust.
Mildred went toward him, but Retha was quicker.
Hey, don't cry, old Doc. You said, least I think that's what you were saying about all us dying, and yeah, we will. But you do the best while you can. That's all.
Out of the mouths of babes, Doc.
What's that weird place?
Where?
Up a couple blocks north. Looks kind of like a broken seashell.
The haze from the cooking fires was drifting eastward across the ruined buildings, making it hard to see more than 100 yards in that direction. But they could all see what he meant.
Like a sort of small redoubt. But I guess it can't be that, right smack in the center of the ville.
The smoke thickened, and the building vanished.
Dredd? Retha? You know what it used to be?
No, JB.
No, sure is weird, though.
Well, let's go see.
I'm not so sure, lover. The day's wearing on. If we want to get south and find some place for the night, we need to move on.
The gust of wind cleared the smoke, showing the peculiar building more clearly.
By the three Kennedys, it's the
Guggenheim!